Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Welcome to another episode, you guys. I think you're going to really like this one. It's with a familiar face in the nursing world. It's Adrienne Benning. She is the host of the Nursing Uncensored podcast, and you can see her podcast at nursinguncensored.com. But she is an intermediate pulmonary care nurse at a level one trauma center in the Midwest. She's also an artist, informal educator, blogger, and podcaster. She is here today to share with us 11 different strategies and apps that she uses to create blog posts. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. It's really going to up-level your blogging. Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast, a podcast for healthcare professionals who want to build a profitable writing business. I'm your host, Janine Kalbach. I'm a wife, mother of two incredible boys, labor and delivery nurse who created my own profitable writing business back in 2015, and I'm ready to share my secrets along the way with some help from some incredible guests. My goal is to help you open up your creative mind with my podcast, courses, and Facebook group, the Savvy Scribe Collective, to help you build your own profitable writing business. So let's take a listen. When I decided to start a podcast, one of my fears was that I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And honestly, that's still a fear. I still don't know what the heck I'm doing. But thankfully, I have Buzzsprout to host this for me. On Buzzsprout, I am able to project this podcast to iTunes, to Google Play, to iHeartRadio, to Spotify, and all the other podcast players out there with a click of a button. Thankfully, they have guided me along the way on how to monetize the podcast, how to share it, and how to even use little videos to promote my episodes. Without Buzzsprout, I wouldn't have a podcast. So if you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to sign up for Buzzsprout. If you go and use my link, thesavvyscribepodcast.com/Buzzsprout, you'll get $20 towards your Buzzsprout subscription. And it's only been, for me, $12 a month, and it's totally affordable to be able to get my voice out there. If you want to try using content in a different way, podcasting is the thing to do now. So head on over to thesavvyscribepodcast.com/Buzzsprout to host your podcast. Hey, Savvy Scribes. Welcome to another episode of the Savvy Scribe Podcast. Today I am with Adrienne Benning. She is a intermediate pulmonary care nurse at a level one trauma center in the Midwest. She's also an artist, informal educator, blogger and podcaster. She owns the nursinguncensored.com. nursinguncensored.com. See, I'm already losing bonus points. How are you, Adrienne?
Oh, you're good. I'm good. Thank you. It is great to be here today. We had to reschedule a few times. 2020 has been a crazy year, but here we are. I'm so glad we get to do this today.
You know, my birthday was yesterday. And
happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. And never in my 36 years of living has it ever rained? And yesterday it rained on my birthday. I was like, aww. Of course it did. It's 2020.
Well, I hope it was a nice rain. I don't think rain has to be terrible as long as it wasn't like a big old storm.
You know, it didn't last all day. And no, yeah, it wasn't a bad rain. But I was
all
like,
right, good.
This isn't fair. It's August 26th. It's not supposed to rain.
It's not supposed to rain.
But it's 2020, like I said.
Everything's out of whack, so.
No kidding.
But yeah, but today we're not. We're
not
off and running.
We're ready to go. We're ready to go. So today, let's just start off by introducing yourself a little bit. Tell us what you do and who you are, all the things.
Sure. Yeah. So I am a nurse. I'm kind of a Jill of all trades. And 3 years ago, I started podcasting. And I've been a blogger kind of on and off for many, many years. I've had many failed blogs that just are like in the internet graveyards now. But this one kind of finally stuck. And so I've been doing the kind of like Nursing Uncensored universe for the last 3 years. The podcast, the blog, you know, some vlogs, although I shouldn't really claim to be a vlogger because I'm terrible at it. But yeah, and I live in Iowa, Southeast Iowa. I'm like 4 hours west of Chicago. I live with my partner who is studying to be a librarian and our Boston Terrier. And I'm a night shifter, so that probably I should have led with that because that's like the defining characteristic of pretty much all of my life. I like to tinker and write and do crazy weird projects in the middle of the night. So that's kind of me in like one big old nutshell.
I love it. I love it. So what'd you do when you first launched Nursing Uncensored? What happened where you were like, this is not the one that's going to the internet graveyard?
Actually there's a pretty specific reason. So I'm also a huge podcast fanatic and I've been listening to podcasts, or I mean, really, I used to just listen to old radio shows with my grandpa. So I like to think that those are the first podcasts I consumed, but I love podcasts. I love listening to all different kinds, but I specifically, while in nursing school, was listening to a lot of nursing podcasts, like on my commute to and from school and work. I was just like trying to consume as much information as I could in all free moments of my time. And there are so many great nursing podcasts, but none of them talked about like living life as a nurse, not just like the science of it and the medications and the biology. But I wanted to know, like, what's it like when you're exhausted and you have to get out of bed and go back again for another shift? I wanted that kind of stuff. Like what to do about being sweaty at work all the time, what to pack for lunch. But then it kind of grew into me and my friends talking about like the truths of night shift, you know, night shift breakfast with your coworkers, you know, how to get better sleep. And it kind of evolved into us talking about these things. And I just started recording them because that niche hadn't really been filled for me. So I was like, well, I'll just do it. And I wouldn't have done it without my friends, Brad and Andrew. They kind of were the friends that did it with me. They were kind of like my security blankets. So I wasn't just like talking to the atmosphere, you know, as a brand new podcaster. And I was excited to get 10 downloads. And then I was excited to get 100 downloads. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll write some blogs too. And it just became a thing. Like 3 years later, I know how I got here, but it was a curvy, windy, sometimes upside down road to get here.
Sure.
But here I am. So that's kind of how the podcast started, was just me being like, I want to listen to something that talks about what I'm always talking about with my friends, basically.
And you kept going. And I feel like as an entrepreneur, that's the number one thing, like where that road doesn't always lead you where you want it to, but it leads you there. Whatever yeah. that is.
And that's
and sometimes you can't see it.
yeah. And with the other blogs that I had written, I felt like every blog I was writing was me apologizing for not having written a blog in a long time. And yes. that's like one of the things that's become a pet peeve, only because I did it all the time. I'd be like, well, I'm going to try to resurrect this blog again. Here's what I'm writing about. And then like another 6 weeks would go by. I still struggle with that at times. Some of my content is very regular, like the podcast episodes. The blogging is something that I'm still very much learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes me a good, I call myself a teacher, but I think of myself more as a sharer and a co-learner.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel in my role even here today, is that I'm not an expert. You know, I'm not a professional writer. I haven't been paid more than a few dollars here and there for anything I've written, but I'm constantly trying to learn how to make my process better, how to be more consistent, because that was always the thing that killed my blogs, was just, you know, oh, I'll do it.
Time flies. Time flies.
So, the things that I've come to share today are things not necessarily that I'm an expert on, but it's the stuff that I've kind of been, you know, bumbling around with. And these are the things that kind of work and are sticking for me. So I wanted to
share
them.
And I love it because it's not one or two things. She has come up to you guys with 11 different apps that help with blogging, in a sense.
Brevity is not my strongest quality. I can go on and on at length about things. So that's why I made a list. I made like a nice little outline to keep myself on task, because my partner is very much a minimalist and I'm very much a maximalist.
We'll take it. So cool. Let's dive right in then. So let's start with, you have your outline in front of you. I have it too, but go ahead. What's your number one?
Yeah, so these are the number one, or these are the top apps that I use for writing an actual, not just writing, but like creating a blog post from start to finish. All of these have, and they're either available on both iOS and Android, or they have some like web browser equivalent. So these are kind of in order of how I like when I use them. So the
Okay.
first thing is just the notepad on your phone. I think it's an underutilized tool, and those that do use it, I think, are fanatical about it. This is just, I have like three or four different lists. I have a work list, a podcast list, a general life list, and like a shopping list. Those are like the four things in my notepad. And the podcast list is usually like someone will say, "Oh, hey, you should totally do an episode about this." I don't want to miss a beat by like going into my bag, getting out my notepad, writing it down. So I just use the app on my phone, you know, the generic came with the phone app. There are lots of choices. Lots of people have like Evernote, Notability, like there's all these fancy
Fancy
ones.
lists, yeah.
For me, it's just the notepad. That way, whether I'm in line at the grocery store, which I don't really do these days because I'm doing the curbside pickup thing, but if I'm in the kitchen or I'm walking out to my car, I have something that I can just immediately, it's on the home page of my phone, ready to go. So that's where my ideas start. That's always like my go-to. I still have Post-it notes. Like you should see my computer screen and my desk. There's still Post-it notes everywhere.
That's why
But
they made
this
them.
is but yeah, but this is kind of like the birthplace of a blog or an episode. So that's the first app and lots of
Here,
variety. But use your
I'll give you
app.
comment on
Use your
my
note
side
app.
of this is
Yeah,
what we'll
please
do to
do.
make
Please
it the
do.
conversational thing. I'll tell you,
Yeah.
like, okay, the lists I have are also like that. I use the list
Yeah.
app, but I do use a little fancier one, the Google Keep,
Oh, I love
because
that one too, but I use
yeah,
that very differently. But yes, Google
I
Keep
use it
is
for like my
great.
notes. Because then I can go on the computer and search. I could even search in it within it, and I like that sometimes. And it's probably not the safest thing, but I put like my logins and passwords in there.
Yeah, I
Probably not
mean,
the safest.
I do that as well. Like, but for me, it's like not, you know, it's like you'll get my Hulu password,
Yeah, right.
not like
Not
my
my
safety
bank account.
deposit.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, I love Google Keep. Google Keep I use as more of a permanent storage, like a file cabinet. Everything from like work policies to like recipes that I use over and over
I
again.
like that idea
Yeah,
too.
the notepad to me feels very like temporary. And the
Yes.
main reason being is because and this is going to come up with the next app. The second app that I have is Google Drive. I'm very much embedded in the Google universe. Keep, AdSense, you know, Google, all of their apps are all over my phone. But Google Drive I use for pretty much any note that I want to become something. So I'll copy and paste from the notepad right into Google Drive. This way, if I'm fleshing out an idea on my notepad, I've done that thing before where I've like written three great paragraphs. Wow, that just came out the way I wanted it to sound. And then you hit one button and you accidentally delete the whole damn thing.
Yep.
So if it starts to become more than like a bulleted list or a few sentences, it automatically goes in my Google Drive, which is great because then you can just type in keywords and pull
It
up. It
finds it.
doesn't even
Yep.
have to be the title of your file. It's just, oh, well, Janine's name is in this. I'll type in her name. Everything that I've written about our talk today comes up for me. So I love Google Drive. And it's also great for sharing because then you can share, you know, outlines with people you're co-writing with, that sort of thing. So that I love, I sing the
Do you,
praises.
what kind of phone do you have?
So I have an iPhone.
So do I.
I have an 8. I don't necessarily need to be right up there with the new one.
Yeah.
So
But it's interesting because I'm such a huge fan of the Google apps, but I use an iPhone still because
yeah.
I don't know, I still I don't know because I always had it. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I still use iPhone because in my household we have iMacs and laptops
Yes.
and Apple TV, and so
It
the
all syncs. Yeah.
interconnectivity is and my boyfriend's devices are all Apple, so it's really important that we're kind of like on the same network,
Synced.
so to
Yeah.
speak. So yeah, but I, you know, I've had Android phones in the past. I don't have any prejudice against it. It's just, you know, right now we're an Apple family, so
With the Google apps. I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
but
they do. They have such cool stuff.
But that's the beauty of Google Apps is that there's something for everybody. And I mean, just about everybody I know has a Gmail account, you know? And if you don't, it's completely free. So you don't really have to, there's no complaint. Like, you don't like it, stop using it. You're not out any money, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's, you know, those are pretty basic, but I think that the way I use them is, you know, fairly important. Should I move right along? I feel like
Go
we're
right
moving
along.
kind of
Let's do
quick,
the
but
third one.
there's
Let's do
lots to talk
the
about. The third one is not only an app that I have on my phone, but it's a browser extension, I think for probably most, if not all browsers, but it's Grammarly.
Yes.
And yes, Grammarly is one of those tools that I feel like everybody's like, oh, I use spell check. But Grammarly is so nice because I find it for some reason less annoying and more accurate than like the spell check that's in like Google Docs or Microsoft Word. I feel like it also helps you with tone a little bit. Like it'll tell you, this email sounds X number of percentage angry or assertive, or this sounds cheerful. So I really like that aspect of it. So that, I mean, not everybody wants to be tone policed by an app, but if I'm like popping an email off to my boss and the app is like, ooh, this email's kind of harsh.
Sounds angry.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. So it's the bonus of like spell checking as you go, but also kind of helping you with
I like when it puts in there the active voice versus passive voice, because I always screw that up. And I do like that little feature of that. And I like that they now have that you can do it within Google Docs, because it used to be you had to bring the whole document over there. So that's another plus.
Yeah, I like that it just, I have it as an extension in Google Chrome,
Yep,
which I
me too.
also use on my Apple
Yep,
devices.
me too.
But yeah, I love it because it'll also correct pretty much anything I'm typing, whether it be in like those forms you have to fill out where the little box pops up, pretty much anywhere you're typing text.
Yep.
It's got your back.
Writers,
So
you have to have that.
you have to.
You're a writer. You have to have your Grammarly.
Even I'm kind of, I have eagle eyes when it comes to like copy editing or like grammatic mistakes. Like in nursing school, I used to get so angry when I would catch like a typo in like a $400 textbook. And I'd be like, I paid so much money for this. And I caught. So, but even still, there are things that I've edited of my own and I've missed
Yes.
that misspelled word or that thing that wasn't supposed to be there. So we all do it. It's just our eyes sometimes glaze right over those. But that leads into the next one, which I think is an important tool for catching those things that maybe where the wrong word is in there, but it's spelled correctly.
We'll be right back.
You guys, I wrote a book and it's launched, and I want you to check it out. Go over to Amazon, look for Savvy Nurse Writer. It'll come up right away, but it's called Savvy Nurse Writer, A Nurse's Blueprint for Starting a Profitable Freelance Health Writing Business. We have lots of reviews, all 5 stars, top new release in the first week it was launched, and I want to share it with the world. So head on over to Amazon.com, search Savvy Nurse Writer, and get your copy today. This episode is brought to you by the new Implementation Co-op Group. This is a private Facebook group for the course learners in the Plan, Create, Launch, Land, and Grow Your Health Writing Business course. If you enroll by December 31st, 2020, you will be part of it. What this group helps you with is accountability. You will be inside this private group with us for the entirety of 12 weeks, and at the end, we'll have a huge celebration. Every 2 weeks, I will be going live in the group, talking about and diving deeper into the lessons. Every 2 weeks, we'll have lessons to complete. So, week one and two, you'll do the lessons for the plan part of the course. And then week three and four, the create lessons. Five and six, the launch lessons. Seven and eight, the land lessons. And week nine and 10, the grow content lessons. And every 2 weeks, I'll go live. We're going to dive in deeper to those lessons. We're going to walk through the workbook. We're going to do question and answers. And hidden secret, there is a digital planner that I use that I made specifically for my writing business and life that I'm giving to you for free with this course purchase. And this group is also free. All you have to do is join in before December 31st, 2020, to the Plan, Create, Launch, Land, and Grow Your Health Writing Business. You can find everything over at thesavvyscribepodcast.com and click on courses. At the end, here's where it gets really exciting. Week 12, we have a celebration. So we're going to have you guys come inside the insiders group. You get chances to pitch to clients and I start the client connection with you. You get your CEUs and you get to say that you took this course and you will launch your business. I'll see you guys inside the implementation co-op on January 1st, 2021.
So it's not caught by your editing software. And maybe you've read this so many times, you're not picking up on the fact that the wrong there was typed, you know, little things like that. So sometimes those you can see, but sometimes you don't hear, you know, that like, oh, this sentence is a little wonky, or maybe this doesn't read the way I think it does in my head. So I use an app called VoiceDream. Have you ever heard of VoiceDream before?
No, so now I'm not going to have anything to say other than, wow, this sounds great.
No, because there are other types. It's basically like a file. It'll read any document you put into it.
Which is one of the best ways to edit.
One of the best ways to edit. Right, because after your eyes have been over it 100 times, you're not going to notice the things that you're going to catch if you're listening to it. And I also used that in school to like maximize my time so that I could read while I was, you know, read an essay that was a PDF that was dropped into my class. So it was a great time saver. But in this case, I use it very much to like catch those phrases or sentences that don't quite run smooth. So I encourage people to use that, or even if you don't have like an app for that, using any function on your computer, whether it be like an actual, a different app that'll read your text, or sometimes in the accessibility features, you can set your phone to like read what's on the screen.
Right.
And so that can be a tool if you don't want to have like a whole separate, or you don't have room on your phone or your device for that. So I feel like it makes my writing better when I listen to it.
I love listening to podcasts, but there's actually a series I listen to and it's literally them just pulling the best blogs, you know, in finance or home or whatever, and they just literally read you a blog post. So you can use that, I'm sure, in the VoiceDream where you could just like, if there's some stuff that's been sitting in your inbox, you're like, I got to read this email, but I don't have time. I want to read this that they linked out to, but I haven't had time. Let it read it to you while you're folding laundry or something. And your hands are free.
And some people are just auditory.
Yes.
Like you can read it 100 times, but until someone says it out loud to you, maybe it doesn't stick. So I feel like there's all these different reasons why that's a great way to go over things again. I'll even do it with essays or articles that people give me to edit, even if I didn't write. Because then, you know, I might listen to it the first time around while I'm like mostly paying attention, and then I'll revisit it with full attention and like really give it an edit. That's just my personal preference, how I like to do things.
And like you said, auditory listening and learning, I think most people that listen to podcasts, they probably are those type of people because we do. There's a reason we're on podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. And some podcasts, I actually heard a thing a while ago on NPR. I'd have to Google search it. I won't be able to cite it off the top. But it was a guy who was talking about how there are a certain demographic of podcast listeners, or even people that like consume YouTube content, that will listen to the content on a higher speed, like 1.5 speed or even double speed. And he said that when he first learned that other people did that, he was like, oh, good, I'm not just a psycho that listens to everything on double speed. Some people already talk fast enough for their cadences, like interesting enough that I can follow. But I'm not going to lie. There are some podcasts that I really want the content, but I just can't wait that long. So in that case, I'm turning up the speed. So I think you can do that in apps like VoiceDream too.
I'm a audiobook listener too. And I listen in double speed and it's so fast, but in my head, I'm totally there. I listen to it and I'm a fast talker too. So I'll listen to my podcast in the car and I'll turn me on fast. And I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah. I don't think I need to speed you up at all. There are a few podcasters. I'm like, all right. But also some people just learn that way. Like,
did your boyfriend ever get in the car, or like my kids get in the car, my husband, and they're like,
holy moly,
who do you listen to? Like, what are just you, leave me alone.
You know, as I sip on my iced coffee, and they're like,
yeah, let me slow down a little. So we're sorry, listeners, if we talk fast, but at least you didn't have to speed up the episode.
You can also, I think, slow it down a little bit. So feel free if you need to slow me down. This next one, I kind of want to spend just a teensy bit more time than the other ones. The other ones are pretty self-explanatory. It's like, use your notepad, use Google Drive.
Got it.
Have you ever heard of Trello?
Love Trello.
I love Trello as well. It is great for team projects, communicating with, there's like a million features in it. I don't even use a fraction. But what I do use it for is basically just like an elaborate network of Post-it notes. So the most Trello, to give folks an idea, it's kind of difficult to talk about an app like this, just, you know, with your words. But I think of it as you can set up multiple boards. Within those boards, you can have like little sticky notes. And within those sticky notes, you can do a number of things. You can move them around. You can share them with people. You can add alarms, dates, you know, timers, however you want to say that. You can add checklists, tags. It is an organization nerd's dream or nightmare, depending on how you look at it. I use it just to keep track of multiple processes. So like, for example, I have a generic board that I use that has all of my steps that I do every time I produce an episode of a podcast. Everything from email the guest to tag and, you know, put tags, SEO and release. And so what I do is every time I have a new episode ready, or I'm about to start recording a new episode, I'll make a new board for it and I'll copy it and I'll rename it the name of that episode, so that if I've got four or five episodes that I'm like midway through editing, I have a record, because every time I complete a task, I delete that sticky note from that board. So at any given time, I can go into my list and be like, okay, this episode, I've gotten all the way through to the editing, and now I just need to do all of the like uploading, tagging, you know, that. And this one, well, I haven't even edited that yet. So it helps me keep my brain straight. And because it's digital, I don't have to worry about having 8,000 more sticky notes physically on my computer. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation, but I love this because it keeps me from, every time I sit down at my desk, figuring out where I'm at with each episode or each blog post. Just keeps a crazy mind straight.
So I used Trello for like ever, but there's a newer app, and now you told me about VoiceStream, so I have to tell you about this one.
Okay.
And you can import your lists from Trello to this organizational dream for sure.
I have my pen ready.
Click up. It's actually the form you filled out before we chatted today. You can actually put forms on there and people fill them out, and then it tags you and you're like, cool, I got all the information. Now I can follow up and move their little sticky over to a different one.
Well, now I can scratch off my to-do list asking you what the heck that was.
Oh, see? Ask you about that. See, and I've put it into my website for like when I get inquiries from clients or whatever. I've used it for writers now when we do assignments. I assign them straight from there so they can just print it out if they want.
Nice.
There's so many things. Like, you think Trello has a lot? Holy cow. This is like, I say it's Trello on crack, because it has truly, it's a lot. Like, if you don't like organizations and processes, you're not going to like ClickUp.
I'm probably going to end up on this app on the couch all afternoon. Like,
you will. You will. I was obsessed like a whole weekend. I'm like, let me figure this out. And their customer service is great. So I need to just plug that too, because they are very responsive, and the tutorials on there are super easy too. So they have videos, and then however anybody wants to learn. So
I will.
So there's your little bonus, guys.
That out. That's great. I love new apps. Oh my gosh. Okay. I truly, like, I get so much joy out of new like organizational things. I do. And the things that stick, I will use for like years.
Yep.
So that may be a new one. Thank you.
Because you can actually inside ClickUp too, you can make it look like Trello or look like Asana or look like any other look out there. There's so many. And so if you really like that, like I like Trello for that board look where I can move things along. Mm-hmm. But then I do like the list look on different things. So you can just move it to a list instead of like the board. So
I love the versatility of it too, that you can have very different preferences from me, but we can both be kind of like infatuated with the same app. That's yes. that's the mark of a good app when everyone can find a way to use it.
Exactly. Yeah, they're doing good. They're doing good.
Nice. Excellent. So the next three that I have kind of all go together, and it's less for writing and more for the kind of post-production stuff. So the three that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to kind of talk about them a little bit separately, but mostly as a group. I use Canva, Prisma, and the Photoshop app. Now there's the desktop Photoshop, which you have to like have a subscription for, but the Photoshop app in iOS, and I'm pretty sure Android, they're free apps and they have a lot of versatility. So that's for kind of obvious reasons. I like to create the art for my, you know, the blog post or the web page that goes along with my episodes, whatever the content is. So Photoshop is really great. For a long time, I would just use like the iOS editing app. I mean, I've got probably 15 different editing apps on my phone, but I kept forgetting about the Photoshop app. And then when I would revisit it, I would be like, my God, this is really good. Like, this is a really good app for a free app. So I bring that one up because I think that's one that's like a little obvious and also a little intimidating to people because they're like, oh, I don't know how to use Photoshop. The phone app, it takes all of the like, I need to be a professional vibe out of this and really makes it easy to take that headshot that somebody sent you that's really dark, make it brighter, all the way up through like making major changes to an image. So that's kind of the first one I use. And then the next one, which I don't want to just bulldoze right through these. What do you think about Photoshop?
You know, I like Photoshop. I've used it more not for blogging purposes, like that kind of stuff, more like family pictures, right? Like if we get a family picture and I wanted to brighten it or something we did, you know, outside and needed to like filter it in some sort of way. That's kind of how I used it. I haven't used it really for blogging or website images.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And you know, there's a million different ways you can go about getting images for your website. You know, everybody has their like gold mine that they found that they stick with. But for me, Photoshop, because I have, you know, I was kind of a hobbyist photographer before I got into the whole podcasting situation. And so I have a lot of kind of stock footage. And so I like to use this because maybe a photo that I took 10 years ago, maybe not the best photo in the world, but I can tweak it enough that I'm like, oh, hey, this would be a really great cover image,
yeah,
or supporting image or whatever. So I kind of use it for that. So I also like Prisma because I try to, well, here, I want to do this in a different order. I want to talk about, before I talk about Prisma, I want to talk about Unsplash. You've heard of Unsplash.
Yes, I like Unsplash. Yes.
I love Unsplash. Unsplash is actually where I get most of the images that I use just for like, you go to my website, you see all my episodes. They each have like a photo that's kind of indicative of what the episode is. Those I pull from Unsplash. And then I use Prisma, which is the app that I started to talk about. That is a very stylized art. It will take a photo and make it look, you know, there's a list of different artists on the platform. They all kind of have their own filter, and it will, some of them are very intense and crazy, very Picasso or very, you know, name any of the artistic greats. So very specific filters, but then there's also some that are like, make everything, look just slightly hued different. But I like this one because I feel like the aesthetic suits me. So I use Prisma. I take the photos from Unsplash and I will give them just a little bit of a twist so that they all kind of have a uniform aesthetic, even though I'm pulling from a number of different artists that have put stock photos up. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Like, you have your own like little to make it easy for people to understand, like your own little filter that brands you for your website, but uses those images that I could pull the same image for a blog post and it would look different than Adrienne's.
Exactly. And Prisma just happens to be the one that has filters that I like. They're not too cartoony. They're not too out there. I just find a lot of them really beautiful. And I feel like I'm pulled to the same like three filters over and over again. So that's kind of defined. And anyone that goes to my website will kind of see that overall kind of color and stylization. I also mentioned in this cluster of kind of visual arts, I also mentioned Canva.
Yes.
And Canva, I use – Canva is like super multi-purpose. Like you can use Canva everything for your kids' birthday invitations all the way through like the social media images that I use to promote each episode.
Yes.
Yeah. So
because they even have – you could even do like you can make them into PDFs. You can make your downloadables for your website or your clients' websites. Like that's where a lot of people these days are going because it's super simple. I mean,
and it's great.
They make it simple.
So this might be a super like duh, you know, to put on the list. It's such a great app, and I was using the free version forever, and I like a week ago started the free trial, and oh my god, I feel like a kid in a candy store. I love the templates, and I love that I can pick templates that maybe the color scheme has nothing to do, but I love the layout and I can put my own spin on it, throw in some of my own stock footage or backgrounds or colors. And I feel like it's really made my because I do all of it myself. So my marketing, my social media promotion, it's all me like sitting on my couch, like making this stuff. And I feel like Canva has taken it to a different level than any other kind of like editing software that I've used. Maybe I'm late to the game with Canva, but this is like probably like my new, aside from ClickUp, which is my new favorite thing. This is kind of like my new favorite thing. Like I'm like, why?
With Canva. I think it's cool when you have the paid version that you could put in your brand colors, and it makes it so much more simpler when you're editing the templates where you're click, 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 done.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I love about it is that even though I can personalize any one of like hundreds of layouts, I can also have those that kind of are already like that pre-fill, you know, that ability to kind of personalize so that I don't have to feel like I'm starting from scratch every time I want to create a new graphic. So that has been really great for the promotion because I've, I'm still learning. I might be late to the party, but I've learned how great Pinterest is for promoting blogs.
Yes. And podcasts.
And podcasts. And so I've been just recently trying to harness Canva for making those, you know, those specially sized pins so that I can kind of like join the world of people that already knew this. But like I said, I'm excited about these things. I love sharing. So some people may already be like, oh, I've been using that for years. But maybe try using these things in a different way. Try a feature you've never used before. Like I didn't know that you could just plug in your colors and have a kind of – I've been saving, you know, files and kind of just like dragging and dropping. But now I have to go back and look again because clearly there are some things I haven't learned to do
yet. You can add brand colors and then you just start adding them all, which is great. And then in Pinterest, there's such a – algorithm to Pinterest that I finally understand, but it took me a minute to get Pinterest down because it's its own beast in a sense. Like Instagram has its own issues, like for algorithm, Facebook too, but Pinterest is an animal.
And I'm just learning. I'm just like at the tip of the iceberg for learning Pinterest, but I really do love it. It's not only a great time waster, but it's a great resource. Like I've been preaching the gospel of Pinterest to nursing students. I'm like, you don't realize how much great study material. When I was a brand new nursing student, it never even dawned on me to look for patho graphics, images, cheat sheets, thing, memory devices. I credit probably half of the tests I passed were because I remembered something I saw on Pinterest.
Right.
And that's not a joke. Like, that's serious. People are like, you know, what?
On your list, is there Tailwind?
No, but that's only because Tailwind, it's on a to-do list for me.
Okay,
like, it's on one of my little post-it notes. Tell me more about, because Tailwind is like an auto posting.
Yeah, so Tailwind, if you, so there's tribes in Tailwind that you can join. So if it's like a blogging tribe you want to be a part of, you can start posting your blogs and your podcasts in there. And then the tribe kind of spreads it out to their tribes, and you know, it's just a huge thing for exposure. Well, then on top of it, you can add, I think, like 21 hashtags to Pinterest, and they're not like, you know, LinkedIn only likes you to do like 3 or whatever, but Pinterest, the more hashtags, the better. And you know, you have your image, you have your title of your image, and then do a little blurb and then all your hashtags. And that's going to start making your visibility a lot better. So when you make your pinned boards, you can have like just, you know, nursing uncensored board. And then you just have recipes and blah, blah, because you want the way they don't want you just sharing your content. They still want you to share the recipes. They still want you to share, you know, summertime things to do in Iowa. And
that's how you get like a vibrant network.
That's how you get
creative community.
And you can even, I have one for Savvy Scribes. And so anybody who has anything published, they can throw it in there so that it can go around to the world too. So yeah, it's a fun one. And then you can auto post all the content. And so that gives you a little thing inside the Chrome browser, and anything that pops up, it'll say like, do you want to repin this? And it could go to your website and it'll like recognize it, and you're like, yeah, I want to repin it. And then it adds it to your queue, and you just press shuffle and start, and off it'll go. It'll just do its thing.
Nice.
It's great.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's a lot.
Okay, I'm writing this one down too.
I'm so busy tonight.
Ooh, I know. Oh, this is great. I'm glad I have tonight off. I don't have to.
Right?
Because it's hard when I find exciting new things I want to explore.
And you got to go to work.
I have 6 hours to sleep. I can't spend four of those hours on this app. But yeah, that's actually not a bad way to spend the rest of my day.
Right.
Let's see. What else is on my list? I think I've gotten through most of these. Linktree. I put this on the list for actually a couple different reasons. So we all know Linktree, which I don't believe it's an app. I think this is just like a browser, an in-browser service. But Linktree kind of, you know, we all have a million links, our social media, our blogs, our LinkedIns. There's all these things that we want to share with people. And so I, of course, jumped on the Linktree train right away, so that for example, in my Instagram description, I have my Linktree. So you can click that link, go to my spot where I have all of my links spelled out. I'm even able to give them clever little titles, but I took it a step further. You know, I have my Linktree for all my social media, so I can just give people one link and they can find everything I have everywhere I am. But then I also set up, you know, because I have many emails, so I also set up another Linktree account that I started using for my self-care Sunday posts. And so I don't do this. This is one of the things that I struggle with, consistency. But for a while, I was making recommendations of things that I use in my actual self-care, because that's a huge issue for nurses. Like, we're terrible at self-care. We need reminders and suggestions. So I was using Linktree to make a list of all of those products that I had been featuring on my Sunday posts, so that if someone wants to see all of those things that I've recommended, they don't have to go to my Insta and click on every Sunday post all the way back. They can just go to this Linktree, and all of those things are there for them. And it makes it great for me, because if there are affiliate links in there, well, then people can just go down the line and hit those affiliate links. It's, you know, it's a really great thing to do. But I was just thinking, you could get layers deep with the link trees. Like, you could have a link tree for really any collection.
Sure.
It doesn't just have to be, and again, maybe everybody's like, duh.
I don't think so.
But this was a revelation I had. I was like, I can make any, you know, of course you have to have a legitimate email address to go with it, but you can use this for any number of collections that you want to send people to. So say you have like a whole list of blog posts that you want to share that all are, right now I'm doing a lot of back to school stuff. So if you have a collection of stuff that's back to school, you can have a link tree just for that. So when people say like, hey, do you have any blog posts about back to school? You can say, boom.
Actually, I do. Yeah.
And you can take, you know, you can take that to whatever ridiculous degree you want. I just have the two. But someday there might be a third if I have another list of things that I want to kind of share as a, you know, like a compilation of things with one link. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out because I was like,
that's a good one.
A really good idea.
And yeah. It's nice for like when you are featured somewhere. So for example, yeah. Like you coming on here, all you'd have to do is really like copy your link tree stuff and send it over. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. For when I say, what are all your social links? Because
oh,
it's
yeah,
kind of annoying.
I should have done that. I didn't do that.
You could have. You could have.
But see, that's yet another, that's why it's so great being a teacher and a learner simultaneously.
See? Love it. I love it.
I
use mine for, like you said, like for the social links and stuff. And then I actually have links in there to every one of my podcast episodes too. So you can go straight from like my Instagram bio to the podcast. So
look at the things I'm learning.
I know. This is such a good conversation. I hope we're not the only ones learning.
I hope not. And like I said, even if it's an app you've been using for like
use it a little different.
The dawn of apps, do something different with it. Yeah. I would love, and I love when people put in comments like, oh, hey, I use it for this too. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
there's another way.
But yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of these things that I like, I'm very much a list maker and an organizer, and I want, you know, I want habits to stick. So I try to find the things that instead of me rearranging my life to use this app, which app fits into the way I already
my life. Yeah,
exactly. So I think, you know, people say, oh, my phone is such a time waster and like I have to delete all these things to keep. But it's for me, I'm like, this is the most beautiful tool, and it can be dangerous and it can lead us to a lot of time wasting. But I love the fact that I can create an entire blog post. And even though I don't create podcasts from my phone, if I wanted to, I could create from my phone and have everything from the editing, the photo editing, the, you know, the sourcing, the linking, all of this, the SEO, all of it can be in your hand. And that's what I love about apps and all these nerdy things that people have created.
I love that they created them though, because there's a reason I'm a writer in these days. Yeah. I love it all.
Yeah. And do you ever find yourself just like scrolling the app store? Like you would scroll.
Oh yeah. Instagram? Like, but only under productivity and.
Yes. Yes. I also love going through like the augmented reality. I'm not great at using any of that stuff. Like my brain is very 2D, like the 3D stuff
is
a little beyond me. But I do love horsing around with that stuff. So
I also have a problem with office supplies. Like I think I need like everything. And I think that's a writer thing. Like yesterday I went to Office Max just to get new labeling tape for my label maker because my kids decided they needed to label everything in our house.
Yeah.
So I ran out. So I go up there and I'm like, don't do it. Don't go looking because you'll never get out of here.
No, I've been trying to figure out for years why anytime I go into any business, even if it's not an office supply store, I feel the need to buy pens.
Yes. Why? I think that's a nurse thing.
It must be, but I have.
My good pen.
No, and actually, for those that can't see this, I have washi tape, like a little ribbon, on all of my pens, so that way there have been times where, like a week after I've lost a pen, a nurse has been writing with it, and I'm like, that's my
Excuse
pen.
Me.
It has turquoise glitter washi tape on it. It's mine.
I don't know why I have these new pens that actually erase. They're like gel pens that erase. They're Pilot. And why I feel like, I don't know why I feel like I need to erase gel pen. I don't know.
Are they like the Pilot friction pens?
They are.
So actually, let me just geek out on one more thing. I don't think I have it right here on my desk. I think it's in my bag in the other room. Do you know about, oh, here's my little one. Do you know about Rocketbook?
No.
Which is what I think, oh, I just knocked a whole bunch of things off my shelf. So this is my mini Rocketbook, but essentially, I'm just going to blow your mind real quick. I have a bigger one as well. So you can see, those of you that can't see, I'm going to try to describe this. I have this little notepad. I don't know if she can see it in my camera.
Yeah, the QRS code.
And it's dotted paper. So in the bigger one, there's also a few icons at the bottom. So like with those friction pens, I can write on this pad. At any point, I can take, you know, my wet cloth and just wipe it clean. And when I'm done taking notes, I can use this QR code to beam it to my designated cloud folder.
So you always have your notes.
So you always have your notes. And for me, I write a lot. Like I said, I have a lot of post-it notes. This is how I reduce the amount of paper that I'm throwing in the trash. Because I took a post-it note and wrote celery, carrots, watermelon on it. And now,
yeah.
Now, you know,
now you just wasted it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that's nice about it is that it's not just the QR code on the notebook, but they also make like little plastic corners and QR codes that you can put on like a life-size dry erase board or anything you write on and use that to beam whatever you're writing.
Holy cow.
Your cloud. So like in nursing school, we always did these exercises where we would like put these giant post-it notes up on the wall.
Yep.
And then everybody at the end of class is like going around taking photos of those post-it notes. Well, I attest that if teachers have these little corners with the QR code, you can just take pictures of each of them, beam it out to the folder, and then all of your students have access to it. So there's not 22 people standing at the head of the class before they leave trying to take pictures of all
smart.
This.
Gosh, people are so smart. I need to think of these ideas.
I love it. I love it. So yeah, Rocketbook, and there are like fanatical groups. I shouldn't say fanatical. That sounds bad. But like people that love Rocketbook, and there's like a group on Facebook I follow that are like people nerding out just like us. Like, ooh, look at the new pens I got. And, you know, look at the new journal pages for my Rocketbook.
I actually envy those people that actually have their journal or their planner and it's so colorful and it's, they have like little stickies here and stickies there. And I'm like, oh my God, that just looks beautiful. But I just never had the time to like make it beautiful. But I still have like my little notepad or whatever.
Absolutely.
Just to get through my days. But
absolutely.
Yeah. You have to have organization, processes, and you will succeed in life in general. Yes, not absolutely. Just business, but in life. I honestly
absolutely.
Think I don't know how people live their lives without a list. Like you don't get anything done.
I mean, I even have a wet erase board that's like 2x3 that I wear on the back of my nursing badge with wet erase markers that I can just like write on the back of the badge. Again, so I'm not like losing post-it notes.
Or paper towels or whatever.
Paper towels or the back of my glove or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, this way I actually have somewhere legit that's like attached to my body.
Throw their vitals in.
But it's just that's one more cool. example of like, you know, one of these little devices that makes my life just a little bit easier.
No kidding. So is that the end of our list?
That's the end of my list.
Wow.
Those are all of the things, you know, I could talk on.
It's all of the things. Stuff,
but those are the things that I use most consistently. Those are the ones that are tried and true in my process and that I keep coming back to over and over again. So
if you listeners are still with us after us nerding out this long, I invite you to continue the conversation over at our Facebook group, the Savvy Scribe Collective. And I want to hear what your apps are, what you guys like, if you use these that we mentioned today in a different way. And yeah, let's have a good conversation about it because I love this kind of stuff. And Adrienne, I thank you for coming on our show. Again, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find everything under one link, nursinguncensored.com. You can also find the podcast on every podcast app. If it's a podcast app, we're there. So Spotify, iTunes, or Apple Podcast, whatever they're called.
Yep.
I'm everywhere, right under Nursing Uncensored. So I would love if you guys would check it out. I too love comments. I love talking to my listeners. Send me a DM, a message.
And subscribe to her show, you guys.
Yeah, please. I've been a Savvy Scribe fan for a really long time.
Oh, thank you.
I go through and I pick out little nuggets. I've even revisited episodes because I'm like, oh, I know there was something that I wanted to do, but, you know, I'm so all over
the place. But, I hear you.
Yeah. But thank you. I'm so happy.
Talk
to you. And,
thank you.
Yeah, this is great. I think we should do this again someday.
Absolutely. This is very helpful. So take care, you guys, and go get your ride on. Bye. Tell me, do you use Pinterest? Have you gone there recently and searched your favorite recipe or maybe a new house decor? But did you know people use it for other things too, such as how to grow a freelance business, how to find a side job as a nurse? Whatever you want to type in there, you can find a lot of things on those topics. And I want you guys to be able to start getting your articles that you're publishing noticed by using Pinterest as a search engine. The easiest way you can do this is with an app I love called Tailwind. You can try a free month if you use my code. Check out thesavvyscribepodcast.com/tailwind and you'll get a free month of how to use Tailwind and use it for your benefit on Pinterest. You can start scheduling posts, start reposting things, and people start sharing your stuff as well. There's a lot to know within it. That's why they give you a free month. So check it out. thesavvyscribepodcast.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of The Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.